What was that song that you just requested? Because we like to give you music when you come in. Who was that?
Don't Bug Me When I'm Working.
Really?
Yeah.
Who sings that?
That's John Hyatt, an old group, Little Village.
Is that like a lawyer song or what?
No, it's a referee song.
Oh, a referee song. Don't Bug Me When I'm Working. Yeah. That's actually very fitting, I guess, you think about it, right? Shut up! I'm working over here.
You know, one time, it was back when I was working on the side. I wasn't refereeing at the time. And there was an assistant coach in an unnamed team, let's just say geographically south of the city of Edmonton.
Oh, okay, and perfect. Let's figure that one out.
Yeah, he would not keep his mouth shut. And finally, I walked over to one of the other coaches and I suggested in the same language that the one coach was talking to me with for the whole game that perhaps maybe he might give me some help to shut this guy up for the rest of the game so I could do my job. And he did. So
now, why wouldn't you go to the guy himself and say, hey, I'm telling you right now.
He was out of control.
Shut it? Or yeah. You're just, and why not flag the guy when it goes that far?
You know, it's not, it really isn't in our DNA to be flagging coaches.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
We don't want to do it. You know, years and years ago, Ron Lancaster was coaching here, and there was an assistant coach that was completely out of control. He had lost it the week before in Winnipeg with us, and he was continuing on the same vein. I walked over to Coach Lancaster, and I said, Coach, I've got a deal for you. You throw him out now, and it's free. Leave it to me, and it's 25 yards. What do you want? He spun on his heels, screamed the coach's name, and told him to get into the dressing room immediately.
And he did.
He did.
And was he as vocal the next game out?
No, he was quite quiet after that.
He learned.
He got the message
there
from the boss.
Okay. We got lots of texts. It was an interesting weekend from officials. I want to start. The first one comes from the BC Lions and the Toronto Argonauts game. In the fourth quarter at the 12-minute mark, they ruled that the quarterback's forward progress was done, was stopped, and then he fumbled the ball. Now, that play is... Could you review that?
No.
Okay, I didn't think
only,
so.
Only on third down, whether or not yards are gained.
And so forward progress is really an opinion call. That when a guy's being held up, because I see it a lot of the times, what's the guideline that the officials are given to whistle a play down as far as forward progress has been impeded and it's done?
Basically, especially with quarterbacks, if the quarterback shows the referee that he's given up on the play, he is not attempting to advance any further, he is not going to do anything with the football to advance it further, we're going to kill the play. So the players now are coached more to hold players up so that their buddies can come in and knock balls free. So they're not just pounding the guys down to the ground. So, you know, there's a lot more plays where you'll see almost a scrum develop on the field with a mass of bodies squirming around, and then eventually somebody's going to blow a whistle. With the quarterback, too dangerous. You don't want that guy hurt. So the referee is going to kill that one much, much sooner.
Okay, and that was going to be my question is that, and I know people say, well, the quarterback's just the same as a running back in that situation or a receiver, but in reality, they're not.
He's the franchise.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You lose a quarterback, and look what's going on around the league. You lose a quarterback for a few weeks, and you're putting L's up instead of W's.
Okay. The Saskatchewan game. Now, there's always the big conspiracy theory from non-Rider fans. You know, like it's funny because the Riders stunk for basically three decades, and now they've been good basically since 2006. They've been a pretty dominant team, especially the last few years, making the Grey Cup. I think four last five times, right? So the conspiracy theorists who are anti Saskatchewan fans claim how while the league wants Saskatchewan to win, which I find rather comical. I'm like, they support that team whether they win or lose. If anything, if the league wants other teams, it's the crappy ones who aren't drawing to win, not Saskatchewan. But it's the Weston Dressler on the punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a messy play.
Okay, so contacting the kicker, safe to say, missed on that call?
Yes.
Okay, because Now, in a situation like that, and when you're evaluated and you talk to the officials afterwards, like everybody misses a call, but do the officials try to tell you what they thought they saw first?
Yeah.
Or how does it work?
Yeah, I talked with the referee actually at length last night because I've been in that position many times myself with guys coming in and making contact on the kicker. You know, from his perspective, he felt that the contact was slight and incidental. When I was watching the game on Sunday, I initially believed that the contact, that the rushing Saskatchewan player had held up and in fact reached out and grabbed the kicker's arm as the kicker was going to the ground. Watching it 30 times yesterday, I changed my view, and I have the luxury of doing that. The referee doesn't. So I changed my viewpoint and felt that the Saskatchewan player only stopped advancing towards the kicker when he hit him. Now, he didn't discombobulate him, no. So it wasn't an unnecessary roughness penalty. But
it would have been contacting the kicker.
It should have been contacting the kicker.
Now, there was also... Now, a lot of people thought, well, geez, A, the touchdown wouldn't have happened, and then they would have got a first down. But in fact, Ottawa wouldn't have had a first down if the play had been called correctly.
Unfortunately not. As I spent more time on the play, I noticed that there was a cut block around the 30-yard line. The kicker got up and ran across and took a blocker out at the knees, a guy running down the field with Dressler. That is an unnecessary roughness penalty.
Because he took him out of the knees.
Yeah. And then another Ottawa guy decides he's not very happy, and so he two-hands a Saskatchewan player on about the 3-yard line after Dressler scored the touchdown. Another UR. So
they actually would have been kicking, if my math's correct, then by around like the inside the 15.
Yeah, that's right. 12 and a half yard line.
Oh, okay.
Now, but there wouldn't have been...
There wouldn't have been 6 points.
That's right, 6 points on the board.
Which obviously would have played a big factor in the game. Who knows? Like,
Who knows? That was a funny game because it just looked like somebody was draining the life out of the Red Blacks towards the end of the game. And it just they were running uphill for the whole fourth quarter. It was quite odd.
In that game in overtime, there's a... The Ottawa Saskatchewan misses the field goal, so Ottawa punts it out of the end zone.
Yep.
Now, when they punt it out of the end zone, at that point, the only way Saskatchewan can get a point is now. Let me go back because I was reading the rule book and I'm not sure I completely understand. Is there a different set of rules on that play in overtime compared to regulation?
Yes, there is. It's
why?
I don't know. I'm not the author.
Okay.
What happens in overtime is that when the offensive team kicks the ball across its line of scrimmage.
On a field, yeah.
Yeah. So on a field goal or on a punt. Essentially, their set of downs, so to speak, is over. And the only thing that can happen to their advantage in that set of downs would be that somehow they get possession of the ball back and then they legally score. So on that play on Sunday, had the Saskatchewan player who retrieved that punt out had clear sailing and could run it in, he could have scored a touchdown. He attempted to kick it. The kick got partially blocked. And then another Saskatchewan player landed on it, and I mean there was just players everywhere. In overtime, if we had thrown a no yards flag for either the Saskatchewan man catching the ball or the second Saskatchewan player touching the ball, there would be no place to apply those penalties. We do not apply minor fouls in overtime. The only thing that you can carry over in these situations when we go from one team being in possession on offense and the second team being in possession on offense are major fouls. So
now let's, for our audience, let's determine what's a minor foul. 5 yards?
Let's go the other way. Major fouls are unnecessary roughness.
Yep.
With all of its machinations, you know, horse collar, cut, chop, et cetera, objectionable conduct, or rough play. Those are the only things that we would carry over.
And it's because the other offense is supposed to come out and now scrimmage on the 35.
That's right.
But Saskatchewan could have returned it for a touchdown.
Yes, they could. Or they could have punted it and through the end zone and got a single point.
Do you like that rule?
Well, like,
because
do I
if,
like
if teams know, yeah. Well, I guess it, because it's no yards, teams know it. But unnecessary yeah. rough. This is going to say, man, the guy could go off and just tee off on a guy if he yeah. wants.
And then it's going to factor into what comes next. We had a different type of overtime initially when we first went to overtime in the CFL, and we actually had four mini games.
Yeah.
And in a game in Saskatchewan, Calgary was playing in Saskatchewan, and we had an unnecessary roughness. And rather than just leave it up to the captains, I actually went to Coach Bono and said, all right, now I've got a 15-yard penalty in my pocket to your advantage. What do you want to do? Do you want to be on offense or do you want to be on defense? And he factored that into his decision. I don't remember what his decision was. I do remember that the final score in the game was 52-52, so it didn't have a bearing in the outcome of the game. But do I like the rule? I do like the rule because it doesn't make a lot of sense to try to then recreate a situation. Let's just move on. Have your attempts at getting the first downs and scoring, and you know life is difficult enough, and we're already over 3 hours, and people want to go home.
So, if there was a penalty, Bud Steen joined us 25 years CFL official now, the evaluator in the West on the Inside the Stripes, presented by Mobile One and University of Alberta Golden Bears football alumni. If Ottawa had come in and hammered the Saskatchewan player, right? He's down, and yep. you know unnecessary roughness.
Yep.
If he was hammered, let's say, at the 30-yard line, is it and the 15-yard penalty would have given Saskatchewan a first down, or does it automatically mean Ottawa starts at the 50?
Ottawa would have the ball, and it would be 15 yards back from the 35 to the 50.
Yep. Automatically. So there's no chance Saskatchewan would get consecutive possession?
No.
Okay. I was just curious about that because that would change it a lot.
They've got to regain possession and legally score.
Now, I was showing you that video of the football kids and the banner mishap. Have the officials ever ran through banners in any of the football
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not sure that that running through banners is in our job description.
Okay.
No, we
I just thought maybe you guys would have one outside your room that you would just run through because it seems to be a football thing.
Not quite. No.
No. Speaking of the officials... The grand poobah of officials, Mr. Johnson, is in Edmonton this weekend.
Yes, he is.
When do you guys, we're into week 14. When will the cut downs of the crews happen?
Well, at camp this year, Glenn told the officials that he wasn't going to employ the same philosophy as his predecessors had, and was not going to simply automatically start sending guys back at certain designated stages of the season. He was going to assign games based on merit, the performance of officials, and essentially challenged everyone to stay employed by doing the best that they could possibly do. He said he would give the assignments to the best officials. Having said that, we're assigned now up until the end of the first week in October. So it's time to get assignments out. It'll be one of the discussions that I have with Glenn Friday afternoon about my thoughts on the officials and where we should go. I do believe that the last month of the year we should be running straight. That is to say, everybody work every week. And we've got more officials now. People will get every fourth week off. So I personal belief is you're going to be a lot stronger going into playoffs if everybody has worked a string of games, four or five games solid.
Okay. So in the next few weeks, likely is going to be the cut.
Something's
going to
happen.
How many right now then need to be cut? Because are you guys still suffering umpire injuries? Or are those guys all back healthy?
We're all back now. It's interesting. We haven't had, touch wood, any incidents the last couple of weeks. So they're all there. We're now down to 43 guys active. So you know, there's a few spots I think that we could lose. You know, we should probably be down half a dozen guys in a couple of weeks.
And it is based on all season, or do the, as we passed Labor Day, do those games rank higher in evaluation than week one and two? So let's say you got off to a good start, but maybe have struggled with some missed calls post Labor Day. Could that hurt you more than guys who missed calls early in the year?
Yes. What have you done for me lately?
Okay.
Really, that's certainly my philosophy. We're going to look at the entire performance. We're going to look at numbers from the first preseason game to the present, and then we're going to take a look at the last 3 or 4 weeks. What we used to say on the field was, come Labor Day, they start shooting with real bullets. And so we'll look at those, because with a higher level of intensity by the players, it's going to require a lot higher focus on by the officials. You've got to be ready to break up trouble. You've got to be dealing with issues. The coaches are starting to put a lot more pressure on you, and so it's just it's a very noisy place to be down on the field for those 3 hours. And how are the guys handling it?
Interesting that you mentioned the ref or the coaches are more involved with the officials. Is that because they feel the games are more intense? Is the frustration level there? How are the coaches on the officials more now than they were early in the year?
Well, they can see the writing on the wall. If they're not quick to put some wins together, their team's going to not make the playoffs. They may not have a job. So they're going to let us know every time that there's a perceived error. Some of them, it's just pure frustration. But to a man, I think they are in the upper echelon of competitive human beings, and none of them like to lose. It's very interesting, because associating with coaches off season, they're really, basically to a man, really nice guys. But when you get around them game day, good God, it is just night and day. These guys, they would chew your head off if they thought it would get an advantage to their football club. It's quite an interesting switch.
And I could understand that they're feeling more pressure, so now they're taking that out maybe on the officials. In your 25 years of experience, Bud, did you find when the games became more intense, were they easier or harder to officiate?
Usually they're easier because the energy in the air, because that comes from the stands. The intensity between specific ball players, between the two clubs, if it was really high, so were we. The officials can get pumped, and you're right up on the balls of your feet at all times, watching for trouble, because I mean, we're only going to see half of the crap that goes on, but your head's on a swivel at all times, and you're looking for troublemakers and going in and breaking stuff up. And, you know, it just, as the games get ratcheted up in intensity, boy, so do we. I far preferred the end of the season, because the games just flew past. Those 3 hours were gone in a heartbeat.
We were looking at the numbers last week on the show, overall the league, and of course, kick returns, special teams had the most penalties per play than on anyone. Did that continue, or do players maybe finally get it later in the season? Have you noticed that there, will we see a diminish in that? Or because when the intensity is even higher and guys are willing to go harder, that split-second decision is maybe more prevalent for them to cross the line?
If you'd asked me this question a month ago, I would have said that the number of kicking team infractions would go down towards the end of the season. I'm not seeing it. In fact, I was somewhat disappointed seeing some of the kicking infractions in the Edmonton game the other night. So I'm not sure. I really don't have a good read on what's going on there. You would think that they would go down, but the teams aren't showing that to me at all.
Okay. And do you... I know that the Eskimos have had coaches come on. You guys meet with the coaches at the start of the season. They talk about the new rules, I understand. Is meetings, do they happen again at the midway point of the season collectively? Do you think that's something where the coaches and the officials should get together at the midway point? Because all those stats that you and I went over, I'm like, okay, this is pretty interesting. We see what's happening in the league. Okay, what's happening with a specific team? Would that be beneficial to both sides, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure that it would necessarily benefit the officials, because the officials are getting spoken to on a weekly basis, either by the boss, by one of the evaluators, or by one of their coaches, because each position has a designated coach for that particular position. So there is a lot of discussion. If we're starting to see trends where a particular official is missing, for example, illegal blocks on kicks, then we're going to pull out a series of 8-10 plays for him. We're going to have him talk with his coach for a while, and we may even escalate it so that he's dealing with our trainer Dave Hutton, who would break the film down very, very in small pieces and look at where the official is, what he's looking at, what he's keying on, how he's moving on the play, etc. So a discussion with the team coaches, I'm not sure, would necessarily be beneficial to us. And it may just be a venting session as well for the particular team. Not a bad suggestion, Jason. Whether or not the teams feel that they have the time to fit something like that in. I mean, certainly my boss makes himself available to the teams every week. They're sending in plays. Many teams cut plays from a particular game, send them to him for an explanation. He reviews them with the evaluator, and then sends a written response back to the coach. And, hopefully there's a bit of a learning exercise that goes on there.
But always informative stuff. This weekend, the games for fans now gets closer. Obviously, the playoff implications become much more. You've got Montreal, Ottawa, biggest crowd of the year expected in Edmonton on Friday night when the Riders are here at 8 o'clock start. Hamilton, Winnipeg, and BC in Calgary. Last week, I was surprised at just some of the bad efforts by the teams.
Well, I've been thinking about that for a few days in terms of bad efforts. To some extent, I think what we saw this weekend was that the Eastern Conference teams woke up. All of a sudden, those guys started playing some reasonable football. I did not really anticipate, other than the fact that Calgary went into with its second-string quarterback, I didn't anticipate the result that we saw in Montreal. Toronto's a good ball club.
Yeah, Toronto's with Ricky Ray.
Ricky Ray.
They've obviously got a chance. Edmonton, Edmonton, you can argue, kind of self-imploded. The receivers couldn't catch a ball, and then their quarterback overthrew way too many and missed some checkdowns.
Yeah, but, I think we're going to see some interesting football here on out. Certainly Friday night in Edmonton, folks, do yourself a favor and buy a ticket, because it's going to be a hell of a ball game. Saskatchewan is coming off a big win. They, truth be known, probably shouldn't have won that football game on Sunday, but they found a way to win it. And that's going to give them a great deal of confidence and give that quarterback a great deal of confidence. So the Eskimos are going to have their hands full. We're going to see if this team is for real or not. And there's also going to be a hell of a 50-50. So it should be a great, great, great night.
That's a very good point. probably 150 for sure.
Yeah, come on down and pay off your mortgage.
There you go. Bud, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot.